Welcome to the show. We have a great show tonight. We're going to be talking with John Coletti, who's the owner of one of my favorite restaurants in the city, Gibson's. And one of the things that I wanted to say was it's Valentine's Day coming up, one of the biggest dining days in the year. And I just saw a really interesting article. A study was just done that said that people who are single might just be happier, which is not what we've heard all along. We used to hear that it was Noah's Ark, it was two by two, married people are generally happier than people who are single. But this new study says that there are benefits from living alone, like you're more social, you reach out to other friends and you socialize with people who aren't your family or your spouse, that you have more time for leisure, more time for exercise, more time for hobbies, and you have less debt. Single people have less debt. That's probably because people who are married tend to have children, and children, of course, are a big drain on your income and expenses. It's also true that single people sleep better. Sleeping alone, you get better sleep than if you're sleeping with somebody. And just generally, they say that people who are single have more what they call personal growth, which means they tend to do things outside the marriage, outside the relationship. And as a result, they try new things, take vacations in new places, and that might, in the long run, make people happier. But we don't know. I don't know what's the answer to that question. But in any event, if you don't have a date on Valentine's Day, maybe you're happier in the long run. But if you're going out to dinner like millions and millions of Americans, I think they're going to spend $8 billion on February 14th with a quarter of Americans eating out. We have with us in the studio talking about the best restaurant in Chicago. It's John Coletti. John, welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're
here.
Thank
you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, as much as I love doing this show, what I'm really looking forward tonight is to turning off the microphone and going over to Gibson's.
God bless you.
Having a glass of wine, having some good seafood, and I'm just looking forward to it, but I'm really happy you're here. So you've been doing this for a long time. You've been doing it since you were born. Your family is a family of restaurateurs. Is that correct?
Yeah. My cousins still have the original restaurant that my parents started in 1946, which is Coletti's on Elson and Central. And I've been at Gibson's now going on 25 years. The restaurant's 29 years old.
You know, Gibson's is the most successful restaurant in the city, and it has been for years. It grosses more than any other restaurant. I think it's $26 million or something like that. And it's number 8 in the nation, if I'm correct about the stat for last year. You know, that's just amazing. And what's amazing, John, is not just that you had one good year. Mm-hmm. You've had a lot of good years. And I guess what I want to know is, all these restaurants popping up, coming and going, and your restaurant maintains. How does that happen?
Well, first of all, it takes a lot of work. And I think it started, the philosophy of our business started with my partners, Steve Lombardo and Hugo Rowley, when the restaurant opened in 1989. And it was had to do with a lot of work, but it also had to do with caring for the customer and being true to the customer. A lot of restaurateurs, I think, in our world are there for the cash register. Our company philosophy was to give great service, great food, have them come back many, many times. The service philosophy is a big, big thing for us.
What is good service to you? I mean, obviously, we all know when you've got an inattentive waiter or somebody who is maybe too attentive. But what are the elements of a good wait staff?
Fast, efficient service with a smile is one thing. But the idea of, you know, when a customer comes in, some restaurants in our world are there to sell. Our main entity idea in our company is about making the customer comfortable by not pushing or overselling. You know, maybe they're not hungry the night they come in, so they want to split and share something. Great.
A lot of restaurants don't let you do that.
Some of them charge you for a plate or whatever.
Right.
We look at it as we'd rather have somebody in a seat than no one at all. Make the customer comfortable, have them return many more times than possible than they can.
And what I notice at your restaurants, and you have how many, 14 of them altogether?
15
this year. In about four different states, is that right?
Yes.
But
yes.
Most of them in the Chicago area. Yes. You have people who have been there for a long time, 20 years. I see the bartenders, they've been there, they're raising their kids, they're putting their kids through college. These are professional waitstaff people. How do you keep people like that?
Well, you treat them like you want to be treated. There's a lot of seniority, both in the front and the back of the house, and in all the restaurants, especially on Rush Street, Gibson's and Hugo's. At Gibson's, my partner is the original chef, Audrey Triplett. Kathy O'Malley, who runs our dining room, is original. I have 25, but this is just one. We have waiters, or we call them waitrons, let's put it that way.
Waitrons,
the generic term.
Yes.
Who are original. We've made the jobs both front and back of the house as a career. Many, many years ago, Stephen Hugo put together an insurance plan for all the employees that was reasonable, cost effective. We've tried to give the staff a 5-day work week, scheduling in advance. It's just been a something. The way you want to be treated, is that the way we treat the employees.
And it trickles down, and I think attitude is everything. I feel the same way, John, in my law firm, my little law firm. I don't have as many employees as you do, but I want my people to be happy, because when they deal with my clients, I want them to be at their best, and I want them to be compassionate. I want them to be sharp, and I want them to have an attitude coming in to my office every day that's a good one, and that makes all the difference.
True. We also look at our management, too. That they treat the employees the same way that our founding fathers treated us. It's a big, big deal.
You know, Chicago seems to be more and more, I guess, sophisticated when it comes to culinary issues. Tell me about what you see as the trend and how Chicago is being viewed when it comes to restaurants.
Well, it's a funny thing you brought that up. Chicago has become probably the culinary capital of the United States. Time Out just named Chicago as the best city in the world for 2018, in a huge part because of the restaurant scene and the bar scene. We were named in 2017 Restaurant City of the Year by Bon Appetit magazine, Best Restaurant in the City of America by Condé Nast Traveler. It's become the a culinary destination. Culinary tourism is another thing. I sit on the board of our convention bureau, Choose Chicago, and culinary tourism is really huge. We've done a lot of things in our city, very positive, to bring the culinary, those people who are into food and drink, to our city. We have a great show in the summer called the Chicago Gourmet Show in September at Millennial Park. We're the recipient of the James Beard Awards. They've chosen us, and I believe that they're going to be having the awards here until I think it's 2021. A big, big honor for the city to have those awards here. We have a lot of chef-driven restaurants also, a lot of Michelin-rated restaurants. We have everything. And we have an area, we have all the communities in the city that people can go to. You know, we have the Gold Coast, we have, you know, Randolph Street area, etc. But we also have the communities throughout the city where that culinary fair is there and exists.
If you have any questions for John Colletti, we're going to be talking through to the half hour. Give us a call here at 312-981-7200. And before we take a break, I want to just say we've had just a slew of new steakhouses. I just hear a new one every week. And Gibson's being a steakhouse, how is that good for competition to be out there? How do you distinguish yourself? Are there going to be too many steakhouses?
No, we love the competition. It seems like the more that come into the city, the busier we've
amazing.
We did a couple of things to solidify our steakhouse restaurant, Gibson's. We have our own beef program. We have our beef has been designated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture as our prime beef, as Gibson's USDA Prime Angus. We're the only restaurant company in the country that has their own USDA designation. Our prime beef is actually one step over USDA prime. We have a group of cattle ranchers in the northern states, from Minnesota outwards, where everything that is slaughtered through this group of black Angus cattle ranchers that is graded Gibson's Prime is ours. It's an unbelievable product. The product we have, you'll never see anywhere else.
And I have to say, even though I'm not a big steak eater, your fish is just as good as your meat
well,
is.
You have to have, you know, we butcher our own fish. We buy whole fish and butcher that in a, we have a refrigerated cutting room on our second floor. We pride ourselves on that. We call ourselves a steakhouse that serves great fresh fish.
And it does. You're listening to the Karen Conti Show. I'm talking to John Coletti with the Gibson's Restaurant Group. Stay tuned. You're listening to WGN.
My funny Valentine. Sweet comic Valentine, you make me.
Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show on WGN. We're talking about dining out, and we're talking with John Coletti, who is a manager, partner of Gibson's restaurant chain. John, Valentine's Day is coming up, and the stats say that a quarter of all Americans will dine out for Valentine's Day. That's a lot of people.
It's amazing, and it's a... It's a huge day, and also the weekend after.
Right.
It's a huge, huge weekend.
Because you got to do the mistresses and the girlfriends.
Both sides.
I know back in the day, restaurant people were told never to ask if this is the missus, because you never quite knew. But
when they ask,
that's a terrible thing. We don't have to mention that. No. But let me ask you, how many dinners will you serve? Hugo's and Gibson's are both on Rush Street. They are right to, you know, together. Hugo's is more the seafood,
right.
Although you can get meat there too.
Sure.
And vice versa. How many will you do on Valentine's Day?
Probably Gibson's will do between 800 and 900 on Valentine's Day. Frogmore will probably do around 500.
It's just an amazing amount of people.
The thing is with Valentine's Day, it's all parties of two.
Right. Two tops.
Two to two all day long. It goes for lunch and dinner for us at Gibson's and dinner at Hugo's.
I have a question. Yes. John, you know, people dine out all the time. Some people don't dine out very often, and Valentine's Day might be one of those days that it might be one of the only times of the year that you take your girlfriend out or you take your wife out. What tips do you have for people who go into a nice restaurant to, first of all, you pick a good restaurant. Let's just say we know that's a good thing to do. But what are some tips to ensure that you get good service?
Well, the astute diner who is spending his hard-earned money should expect service. Service first with a smile. That start out with the waiter, the good evening, those little nuances that should be given to all customers that walk in a restaurant. Some knowledge of what's going on with the menu, the explanation. We instruct our waiters and waitresses over the years. We're not the biggest upsellers in the world.
What does that mean for the
upsell? We don't push appetizers, cocktails, brands of alcohol, side dishes, desserts, after dinner drinks. We want the customer to be comfortable. The astute customer in this day, he knows what he wants. You don't want to force the customer into a sale. We want the customer to come back, enjoy our ambiance, our fare. Many times, don't push him into a sale, but he's gonna say, "Man, maybe I spent too much." Customers know what they want, but a waiter waitron can push somebody into a sale that they didn't want to do.
Well, and you walk away feeling like you got too much food, and it's too expensive,
true.
And you may not come back for that very reason.
True.
Along those lines. What do you think about portions? Now, Gibson's and Hugo's do not skimp on portions. And there are some restaurants where Jerry and I, my husband and I, have tried where we go there and it's like, okay, now I need to order a pizza. I'm a big eater. You know, I exercise. I got a healthy appetite. I don't eat much for lunch. And when I come out of a restaurant not feeling, not overly full, that's not what I mean, but just that I've had enough to eat. What is the Gibson's theory on that?
That's a great, great question, Karen. The idea of where you're at, what type of restaurant you're dining at, whether it's a 2-3-star Michelin restaurant or a James Beard Award-winning restaurant or the restaurant down the street from your home, portion sizes are what they are. And our businesses, we serve a hefty portion, so we don't mind when a customer splits and shares an item. They might not be that hungry, or they could be that hungry. They want the whole entree, whatever. But we never push that. Our portions are big compared to the world of food and beverage.
But you know, people could take it home, and there's nothing wrong having a piece of steak for breakfast.
So. No doubt about it. No doubt about that.
Now, there's a trend, I don't know if it's in place in all places in California, with this idea of no tipping, where perhaps the wait staff person is paid a substantially higher wage than minimum wage, and there are no tips. What do you think about that scheme?
We have we've talked about this over the years. I know the Illinois Restaurant Association is now involved in this discussion, but if you want to be a waiter, be a waiter. If you want to be a cook, be a cook. You know, you have to have a certain knack about being with the public. If you want to be a waiter, great. If a cook wants to come out in the front of the house, he has the abilities, great. But we're not too big believers in that. That scenario.
You like the tipping scheme.
Yeah.
And to me, it works. I know in some places in Europe, I think Jerry and I were just in Barcelona, and I realized they were getting paid based upon how many tables they turned. Mm-hmm. So there was no upselling, but they were they definitely were moving you along. So instead of being paid on tips, they were paid on tables. I'm not sure I like that either.
I think you might lose in service.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I respect it. I was in Italy this summer, and in France, and everything's included. You know, I would, if I had the great service, I would tip on top of what was there. But I go out to dine. I think we all go to dine for great service and great food, and reward that waiter waitress with a gratuity because of their service.
That's the scheme that works for me. I have to tell you a story, John, and this is typical of going to one of your nice restaurants. Jerry and I came back from a trip, and I was starving. It was something like we hadn't eaten all day, and we missed our layover, our plane, and it was late, and we got there, and we were told the kitchen was closed. And I was like, oh, I just wanted that seafood salad. I was thinking about it all the way home. And I was waiting, and I had a drink at the bar, and all of a sudden, out comes one of your bartenders with a seafood salad that he had gone to another restaurant in the neighborhood, which he knew was open, bought the salad for me and put it in front of me, and I was astounded that he did that.
It's all about service. And if you forget about service in our world, you're a loser. You have to take care of the customer.
And loyalty is earned, and he earned my loyalty that day.
Very true.
It was just a nice, nice thing to do, and that those are the kind of people you have working there.
Yeah.
Let's just say you love to eat. You've been in the restaurant business your whole life. What is your favorite meal? If you were to sit down, your last supper on God's green earth, and you, what is the meal you're going to have?
You know, if you look at me, I'm not the skinniest restaurateur you ever saw. I've probably postponed a few meals, but I haven't missed any. But, you know, I love them all. I love breakfast, I love lunch, and I love dinner. You know, it's hard to really say which one. I have my favorites in all of them. In the city.
Your new restaurant is Gibson's Italia, and it's on Lake and Canal?
It's on Canal Street between Fulton and Lake Street in the River Point building.
And it's very different in atmosphere from Gibson's. It's not the old boys kind of feel. It's a lot of light and windows. It's really a beautiful place. I would recommend it for anybody. Even at lunch, it's a nice place to go. I think last time I was there, I saw the old Mayor Daley and a lot of interesting people having their lunch there. Very, very good. What is the concept with that new restaurant?
Well, it's the Italian Steakhouse that we put together. My partner, Steve Lombardo, was the total instigator on that one, along with my partner, Greg Horan. It's a restaurant totally different than any of the ones we've opened up. First, the decor is totally different, as you said earlier. The views are views of the river going east like no Chicagoans have ever seen before.
It's a beautiful
it
view.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Three floors, bar and grill on the second, main dining room on the third, and an event space on the fourth that has a retractable roof and windows. The fare is unbelievable. Chef Sosa has done a phenomenal job, and it's a restaurant that took off for us like no other. It has been busy since day one, and it's been given rave reviews, and it's been amazing.
I sort of people ask me what it's like, and I say it's the same good Gibson's Hugo's food, mm-hmm. with just a little bit of an Italian flair, little bit of garlic, and a little bit of seasoning, and a little bit more spices that are Italian in nature, and it's very, very good. I would highly recommend it.
We make our own pasta. We make omelet. We make everything from scratch. All of our kitchens in the company are scratch kitchens. Italia has done some great, great things with the pastas. Great beef program also, but it's just been amazing.
John Coletti, I want to thank you for coming here, and I know I will see you out because you're always at your restaurants making sure there's good quality control, and I appreciate that. John Coletti with the Gibson's Restaurant Group, thank you for joining us, and happy Valentine's Day to you.